Hello, and Rita just found out I was doing this today. So, and then those of you who know Dave, I could stand about a foot taller, and you might think I actually was Dave. But I'm going to give you a little introduction, or not an introduction, an update on our HL7 implementation guide. The Public Health Informatics Institute was funded by HRSA to create an implementation guide for electronic reporting of newborn heel-stick dry blood lab results. Today I'm going to talk briefly about why we created this guide and why a guide is even needed. But Ray hit on some of that when he was talking about HL7 already. A brief background on another project that helped inform this guide, the identification and documentation of the business processes of newborn dry blood spot. And then a review of the work group of expert colleagues that compiled and established the guide that, if used by all labs, would create a consistent implementation of HL7 messaging standards for the reporting of newborn lab results. I also wanted to let you know that for those who don't know the Institute, what we do is we pull together a group of experts to come up with papers and things like this that can be used nationally. I am a project manager at the Institute. I am not an HL7 lab person, but we pulled the right group of people together that hopefully this can then be used across the nation. So first off, why even create a guide? As was already mentioned, standards exist, HL7, LOINC, et cetera. Why do we need a guide? Basically, standards only get us so far. HL7 lets the systems communicate, but it doesn't mean the messages have any meaning. Hopefully, this guide clarifies how to fill in that message so that when you send the results from the lab to the hospital, it's a standard, consistent message. And why did we create this particular guide? A couple of reasons. The first is the Office of the National Coordinator made a priority last year of the automation of newborn screening. Also, newborn screening, for those who don't know, is mandated every state and has almost 100% participation. It's a high volume of data in a highly technical field, so it was a great area to continue with automation. Also, timely results enable the physician or specialist to react quickly, and immediate intervention helps prevent disabilities and premature death. This is just a sample page out of the implementation guide. I don't expect any of you to read it, and from what I've heard of the group here, most of you can probably recognize half of this even in the small font that's up on the screen. This guide was developed within the larger national context of the e-health transformation of U.S. healthcare. This project specifically was a three-step project that's shown in the center in the triangle. First, we formed a technical committee that represented the core expertise in newborn screening lab science, screening results coding, LIMS, and newborn screening program management. This committee developed an assessment of the issues and challenges through a two-day work group meeting held in June of 2008. That work group meeting led to agreements on the key issues that guided the construction of the implementation guide using standard HL7 message structures and LOINC coding conventions for newborn lab reporting. As I mentioned earlier, we pulled an expert panel together. These were the people on this panel. It was funded by HRSA. Marie Mann was our executive sponsor and also an advocate on this project. We also had Dari Shirazi, who is also here in the audience, Stan Burbridge, Willie Andrews, Stephen Downs, and Brad Therrell as the experts that we pulled together to help us develop this guide. So I would like to thank them for all of their hard work. I also wanted to mention another project that fed into this. One of the methodologies that the Institute uses is business process analysis. A previous work group documented the business processes of newborn dry blood spot. We used the first phase of this, you'll notice the larger green screening, as a starting point for creating this guide. This is also another task flow that was created by that first work group that we used with the second work group. The decision boxes allowed the work group to have consistent places to start with where messages could come from and consider ways in which an HL7 message structure would have to work to enable the various entities to participate, birthing centers, primary care physicians, specialists, and screening labs. I wanted to show you these two slides to point out that you need to understand the environment you're working in before you just create a guide or a solution. We have gone quite a bit further on this since the work group meeting last year. We have taken newborn screening all the way through long-term follow-up, which is slightly off of today's talk, but if anyone is interested in that field or wants more of that information, some of it's available on our site, or if you contact me, I can get that for you. The guide is designed to use existing HL7 structures and to allow newborn dry blood spot screening results to be sent from the laboratory to the physician of record, birth hospital, and relevant public health programs via the use of HL7 version 2.3.1 ORU codes, as shown on this list. A couple of the conclusions that this expert committee reached. First, we decided to go with version 2.3 because that's what's out there in most of the screening labs, and we wanted to use, obviously, what was already there. Also, the newborn screen order message, we needed a message from the birth hospital to the lab in order for the lab to be able to send a result back. A lot of systems won't accept an unrequested response. And third, standard HL7 using LOINC codes was used to accomplish the goal. Due to funding and time constraints, the project only focused on the screening result message from the lab back to the birthing center. The project team agreed there were several key areas relating to automating transactions that could occur, and they'll remain for future work. For example, it'd be useful to implement an acknowledgement to confirm receipt of the blood spot cards when they reach the lab, and also for the birthing center to acknowledge that they've received the results. It would also be helpful if the birthing sites could send an HL7 order message containing information that right now is manually recorded on the blood spot card, such as patient information, next of kin, etc. That way the hospital's not writing this out on a card and shipping it to the lab is typing it back in. That's another piece that we're hoping with future funding we can expand the implementation guide to cover that area also. The current status of the guide, it was reviewed by the technical work group members. It's been reviewed and endorsed by the APHL Informatics Committee, and it's under review by the APHL Newborn Screening Committee. I believe it is almost endorsed, but I don't have the official yes, so I couldn't change my slide yesterday. The next steps, once it is endorsed by APHL, we will be transmitting this to HL7 for review and adherence to their standard, and we're hoping to expand the guide to include the ACT messages and some of the other possible enhancements, obviously based on future funding. And with that, I'll say thank you and ask for any questions. I can hear you. This was solely on the structure of the message. We were trying to scope this to a fairly small range and use the existing HL7 transport that's there and just fill in how should the message look to make it a standard across the country. Did that? We actually had a discussion on what version we should use because, you know, 2.3 is not the most current. However, it is what is most widely used right now in screening labs. We knew when we did it there is the risk that there's newer versions out there, but we wanted to go with what was most common today.
I'll just say that if 2.3.1 message meets your needs, if you can accommodate all of your information needs inside of a 2.3.1 message, you can probably just change the version number up at the top and you'll have a compliant 2.5 message because HL7 is backwardly compatible. So only things are fields are only added at the ends of segments. New segments are added and they don't overwrite old segments. Anything new has to be in a new segment. So if you don't need the specimen segment in 2.5, well, and it wasn't there in 2.3.1, and you don't need it now, you don't have to make it. I don't think it would be that big a deal to make the change. Just my opinion.
Thank you.
Public health and child health programs are consumers of this lab data, so they can follow up on abnormal test results. Were they at the table and engaged?
Yes. The bureau at HRSA that paid for this is the Maternal and Child Health Bureau. So they had a heavy piece of it. They have also been the business process analysis work that we did to lead up to this had a lot of public health newborn screening representation at the table. Anything else?
I'll ask another question, which is, you said, I'm, for those of you who don't know, I'm also chair of the, one of the co-chairs of the public health group within HL7, so I expect that your guide will come to us if it comes to HL7. Is your community sort of consensus-based enough that if you have the imprimatur on the guide, it'll be accepted, or are you foreseeing balloting this at HL7 to get some additional stamp of approval?
To be honest, I'm not sure of that part. I don't know enough about the HL7 balloting process to give you a correct answer on it.
I ask that not just because I'm interested in our own workflow, but because the question of whether you valid an implementation guide, which is in HL7 generally considered an informative document, not a normative standard, really depends on whether you, in large measure, whether you need that formal review by HL7 and or the cachet of having passed a ballot to encourage your user community to use the implementation guide. If your user community is all in consensus about it and, you know, everybody's going to just go get the guide and go home with it, I don't think you really need to ballot it. But it, in the case of, for example, the ELR guide that we are in ballot with now, we are choosing to ballot that in part because we'd like to have that additional stamp of approval when we bring that to the labs and say, here's what we'd like you to do. So it's just a strategic question. And again, for those of you who don't care about HL7 internals, I'm sorry. But if you're planning on writing an implementation guide, those are your options.
Well, that was helpful to me, if no one else.
Okay. Any other questions? If not, I'll thank you very much for being here on the last afternoon of the formal conference and say thank you very much.